Ken, happening?
Hi there, Ernie. How you doing?
I'm more than a wonderful. Okay, well, we get... All right, here we go. We're back.
The Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here, and declare your independence from here in the Hancock in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAUT full studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Ken Schoolin, Ken Schoolin. He's currently an associate professor of economics at Hawaii Pacific University in Honolulu. Schoolin served as an international economist in the U.S. International Trade Commission, ew, and the U.S. Department of Commerce, ew, and on assignment to the Office of the Special Representative for Trade Negotiations. Triple ooh, I got all kinds of stories about that. Damn, man, I didn't know all this. He taught at Sheldon Jackson College in Alaska and on a university exchange program at Hakodate University in Japan. He later became director of the Master of Science in Japanese Business Studies program at Shimonade University. Schoolin is president of the International Society for Individual Liberty, ISIL, a Sam Walton Fellow for Students in Free Enterprise, a member of the Mont Perilin Society and on the Board of Scholars at Grassroots Institute of Hawaii, and he has authored two books, Adventures of Jonathan Gullible, A Free Market Odyssey, now published in 45 languages, and Shogun's Ghost, The Dark Side of Japanese Education in Two Languages. And ISIL has been around since I started being activist. And I've been around for a long time. And Ken Schoolin came to our attention. The Philosophy of Liberty animation is based on The Adventures of Jonathan Gullible. You know, Ken, real quick, I think it'd be great for the audience if you told us the history real quick of how that came about. And as I recall, it was a friend had a radio station that you did little blurbs for. Tell us that story, will you, Ken?
Thanks a lot, Ernie. yeah, by the way, it goes way back with my resume. All that stuff in government work service was back in the 70s, long before I really became, you might say, enlightened about the necessities of free markets. So, yeah, the book itself, I was writing as a series of radio commentaries on an all-news business radio station here in Hawaii. And, you know, just straight commentaries weren't appealing very much, so I turned it into a Gulliver's Travels type of story. And there it got a lot of attention and a lot more interest. And at that point in time, I decided to make it into a radio series with my friends doing the various voices and so on. And then a guy, Sam Sloan, who was president of the Small Business Hawaii organization here, decided to publish it as a book, and it took off. Then we're actually in now in 80 editions in 50 languages, with 3 plays, and touring 3 different continents: Africa, Eastern Europe, and Asia. And we have a movie project underway too, with a team of animators from Hollywood and a group of investors internationally that are trying to put it into a film.
Whoa, freaking whoa. Time out. you got a fan in here. We'll bring him on. We have him in the last hour. Michael Cole has been exposed to your city, been an activist since those 7 Ron Paulization of the freedom and stuff. And he's ooh, Ken Schoolin, I get to say hello. Say hello.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for all you do. Fantastic work. You're the animation there on YouTube is the one, the go-to, hey, go check that out, Philosophy of Liberty. So, yeah, bravo.
Well, that was a project that somebody... Well, first off, what I wanted to say is the play that was done in Africa. That's how we caught up again one time. I heard about this. They were doing this as a play, and I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. And then we get into they're making an animated movie. So two things right off real quick right there for the end of this segment. One, the play. Tell me about the play. And two, this movie. Tell me about the movie.
Well, there are three plays that have been produced. One in Africa, Adedayo Thomas produced it in Nigeria and took it on a tour of five different countries of Eastern Africa with a cast of 30 students who got onto buses and traveled all across Africa, performing at universities to audiences of a couple thousand. And I got a very good response, even got an award for students, International Students for Liberty, because of the production that he produced. Another was Matas Pozvank and Martin Bikan in Slovakia. They produced a play that's now toured in almost all of the high schools of Slovakia in Bratislava and many other cities and towns all across Slovakia. And the third production is actually a musical production that's been produced for young people in Kazakhstan. And it's been produced in Russian and Kazakh. And so as Russian, it was also then broadcast for production all across the Commonwealth of Independent States, which you know is the Russia and other countries.
Wait a minute. Is this why we got people buying, capitalistic trips to the, Russian Soyuz kind of, they're getting all American, capitalized or something? Well, not American. Americans aren't capitalized anymore. This is where I'm like, it's at the root to get people thinking, getting their mind right as a culture thing. And this is really taking off. How long is this play? I mean, what's it about?
Well, it doesn't take the whole book. The book, The Adventures of Jonathan Gullible, is in 42 chapters now. But they take selected chapters and they adapt them to an audience that's appropriate. Like, for example, this woman who does it as a musical, Ludmila Melnikova and Pavel Koktashev are two who have produced it as a musical. And they take certain scenes and they've turned it into a musical production of certain scenes. Like, for example, the scene in the of the tortoise and the hare delivering mail. And there's this this contest between the tortoise and the hare who challenge each other to see who could get the most customers. While the hare is getting really efficient, developing customers through innovation and service and good low prices, the tortoise just goes to the king, gets a monopoly patent of the delivery of all mail. And so they outlaw the competition. And the kids all say, that's unfair. These are kids in 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds who are responding to this and clamoring for competition in the postal delivery service through this play. But it's been utilized by adults as well. It was serialized in the Hong Kong Economic Journal in Hong Kong. A lot of it depends on how it's couched, whether you put illustrations with it, it's a younger audience. And if you leave the illustrations off, it reaches.
Well, before the end of the segment, audience. Tell me about the movie project.
Yeah, well, we've been very fortunate. There's a group of libertarian animators who have kind of gotten tired of doing the regular line of productions in Hollywood. This is people who have done work with DreamWorks and Pixar and Universal.
Trying to get Kurt Russell. Call him.
Yeah, and they said, well, we want to put together our own production. So they came together at a meeting, and somebody tossed down the book, The Adventures of Jonathan Gullible, and they said, oh, well, we've all read that. We like it. So let's make that our first movie project. So we've developed a business plan for that, and my wife is actually heading up the investment search. And believe it or not, there are a lot of free market investors in China who are very eager to invest in an animated film.
You know,
film.
I'm
animated
getting ulcers. I'm getting ulcers in anticipation of how I'm going to be able to, you know, get some kind of fingerprint on this thing. You know, you know what? I mean, go to the archive. We're going to ink the deal in the archive right now. Mm-hmm. Michael, I know he's on the edge of his seat. I got some money.
Who do I make the check out?
Yeah, what we got to do here? Oh, go to the archive.
This is Donnie.
All right, Ken, freaking man, I knew you'd, suck some money out of us. All right, so explain to me, at what stage are you, how are you going to do release, what are you going to do, what kind of help you need on this thing, and who are the guys, I mean, let's go, you know me, man, let's go.
Well, Matthew Parker and Keith Baxter are the two who have been the most experienced in Hollywood.
South Park?
And they're the animators and producers of this project. And I don't really know much about the Hollywood.
Matthew Parker. I mean, we're thinking Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Oh, I
mean,
you know, I know.
Matthew Parker.
There for a minute.
I know that. You got Michael all excited here, man. He's like, oh, wait a minute. We're going to have puppets. Team America. F yeah. All right. So this is, some people that got skills and they're looking for how long of an animation.
Oh, it's going to be a full-length movie, an hour and a half long. And,
okay, so this is for general release kind of thing.
That's right. We're looking. I mean, these guys have worked on films like Shrek and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and all that sort of thing. And they're doing really high-quality stuff.
See, this is where the world changes, this stuff. Run for what, it doesn't matter. It's this stuff. It's cultural change-based fundamental, which is what Ken has been a very, very good neon flashing example of. Okay, so this is awesome, the plays and doing the anime. Well, what can we do to help? I mean, how much do we got to, beat the bushes for whatever to make it? I mean, is it for sure done deal? And what can I do to get something? I mean, how can we help?
Well, that's fantastic. We're at the stage now that we're seeking the seed funds for the teasers, the trailers that would show investors the kind of film it would be, and the team is all ready to go, and we've got a plan for how we're going to develop the character in the film, because it's going to be different than the book, and so we're developing that, and we need the seed funds for that first stage of production. I mean, $30 million production.
I mean, how much?
Well, ultimately, we're looking at a $30 million production.
It's going to be like a studio release thing?
Exactly.
They're going to let you? They? FLT?
I know. See, that's another thing. They're going, the bad boys are going, no, hell no. So is this something you think you're going to, they don't see the threat, or that you don't care, or they're not, I mean, what?
That's the magic of Jonathan Gullible. It's all been done in satire and humor, so that it's gotten around all the censors. It's getting around, we got a Farsi edition published in Iran. We got one in Vietnam published by all the publishing houses are government in Vietnam and in China and so many of these countries. But they've accepted it because they think, oh, a children's story. It's on.
Does that tell you they just don't read it?
I think so.
I don't know. I mean, I'm wondering, when we did the Arabic version, the guy in Moscow that did Arabic, I don't know how the hell that happened. Who was that guy? How did that happen? I mean, other than us paying for it, but I mean, who are these people?
Well, the Arabic translation was first funded by a guy named Nick Dykes in England. He had friends in the, who were willing to do the translation, and then Nua El Harmouzi with the Lamp of Liberty. That's an offshoot of the Cato Institute in Morocco. Then arranged for the publication in Jordan, and
mean for the animation that we did for Tahrir Square.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that animation. Yeah, the animation is the epilogue of the book. So once they had the epilogue of the book translated, then they just adapted it. And we've got a template. We can adapt it to any language.
Call 602-264-2800.
Are you still there?
602-264-2800. And now,
Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we're just coming right back. We hadn't stopped talking, so I mean.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm just going. You know, yeah, I didn't want to break your train of thought. We're just going because you know there's so much that ISIL does just as individuals. That's just the mechanism by which they operate under the who can we call? And I always say. Can and this has happened to where you have he was telling us about different publishing that you want to do it in Vietnam or China or whatever. It's a state owned. Oh, it's a animated kind of a children's book. We don't care. You know, as long as it's satire and it's not making fun of call us out, you know, directly, then it will kind of let slide into culture and screw us up 20 years later. You know, so I'm just going. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. So then I'm going. And then we had the animation, the Philosophy of Liberty animation. We wanted to make use of that in Arabic. I was like, it's not in Arabic? How come it's not in Arabic? Well, there was a guy in Moscow that translated it for us. And Ken said, I don't know, $1,000, you can probably get it done. I go, hey, well, here's $335, let's go. You know? So, and I would, you know, I would have been willing to pay the whole thing. But, I mean, you know, but we got it within 10 days. It was done. And we had them ship thousands of them in the PAL format for the DVD players in the Middle East. Went to Tahrir Square. And then all of a sudden, I was talking to Kenny going, yeah, next to the U.S., the biggest downloads are Morocco and Saudi Arabia. What the hell happened, man? Then I'm going, yeah, wow. See how it goes?
Getting stuff done.
You know, so, but you know, with your play and doing this animated, now, the thing is that when you do an animated movie, everything can be done in individual languages.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what happened with the Philosophy of Liberty, which was first produced by Kerry Pearson up in Port Townsend, Washington State. He produced a little animation that then was adapted to, well, we've got it in about 46 languages. And just in the 5 minutes before I got on your show, I read this email from a guy who says, do you don't have it in Filipino yet? And I just wrote him and I said, well, no, we don't have that. We've got 46 languages. We could use it in that too. Here's the template that you just insert the words. And our guy, Stephen Cobb and Drew Suter then adapt it to a new language. So it's very, very easily adaptable to a new language.
Yeah, is he from Phoenix and his name happens to be Leo?
Leo too, yeah.
Yeah, no, this well, is he's from the right. He wanted that's, yeah. No, he wanted to he told me, how do I get this done in Filipino? Ken Schoolin, here it is. Peace out.
We need some Liberty Easter eggs in these animations, man. Some behind-the-scenes subliminal stuff.
Oh, hell, it all is Easter egg. You know, the one thing, yeah, it was that. And then Alessandro Fascio, that criminal defense attorney that has offices in Rome, Berlin, and Madrid. You know, I hooked him up with the Italian version. And he's going, wow, this is awesome. Can we change this little phrase here to being the little kind of, you know? So this is, I'm telling you, man, you're staying busy with this thing. Hell, just from me sending people to you, you know? So I am just, I'm amazed. I'm not amazed. I'm just, I'm incredible. I feel better. Yeah. Just that this is going to be done in animation. What do I got to do to make sure this happens?
Well, you're the band to make things happen. I'm so impressed, Ernie. I mean, you've got such a electrifying message, personality, and outreach network. I'm so impressed with what you do. And you're right. You've brought a lot of people to these projects through your outreach. It's very impressive.
Well, you know,
that Arabic production, I remember I sat in your studio watching you perform your magic, and at the side you had like 50 copies of the DVD of the Philosophy animation in Arabic being produced, and you packaged it up and it was sent out to New Hormuzi. I have to say, the first shipment that we sent out there never arrived to my knowledge. It got lost. Maybe the government intervened or something.
What, a shipment that you guys sent?
Yeah, I sent a stack of these animated
We had to send them through a contact in Alexandria,
there were other people who then got a hold of copies and so on. But the first shipment that I sent out to Noah, he said it just never arrived. You know?
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. We sent it. That was one thing I was concerned about because I knew hell no, they did not want during the Arab Spring that them to get find out. You mean we don't need Pharaoh number 300? I own myself. Oh, hell, I go, you get that injected in this thing, they're screwed, man. I don't give a crap what they're playing. You know, once you start getting 15-year-olds saying they own themselves and in any language and how the philosophy of liberty explains that so well, I knew they were messed up. Hmm. So we didn't send it to Cairo. You know, we knew better. You know, we were like, hell no, we got a contact in Alexandria that we sent it to that took it to Tahrir Square. That's where it blew up from.
Well, they can access it from our website, jonathangullible.com, in Arabic. And I can track where, at least what countries are tapping the philosophy of liberty the most. And during this Arab Spring, I mean, of course, the United States is always the first that's using the downloads from my website, The Adventures of Jonathan Gullible. But soon as Arab Spring came out, I could see that there was a huge spike in usage in Saudi Arabia, in Morocco, in Jordan, and a lot of the more moderate countries in the Middle East. And so we know that that's circulating with the message.
Yeah, the one thing that I was really excited about, it was part of we created Harriya Phoenix, which is a special edition of Freedom's Phoenix. Harriya is Arabic for freedom. So Freedom's Phoenix in Arabic. We have a web page. You know, we have a Facebook and a Twitter account. Well, the Twitter immediately went to like 2,600 people, and they canceled it within a week. And I go, I'm so shocked. So then we got DDoS attacked. And Michael Kilsky, computer uber geek, state chair, Libertarian Party guy, and he's an attorney. So he's like, computer science masters and an attorney, and it's like, bring it on. So he went and traced it to, like, it was out of Germany or somewhere in Europe. I think it was Germany. It was a company called WebSense. And come to find out, you go through all the stuff. They came and attacked. He goes, we can see you went through 8 different servers to attack this. So 26,000 requests per second of the blah, 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 blah. You were attacking us. And it was because of this Arab Spring thing. And these guys had a contract. They did kind of work for the Mossad. Mm. And I'm going, really? You know? So we made a big deal out of it. Did a show on it. Put all the, and finally it got where they answered Michael. And this is what they said. Yeah, well, oh, we were just showing your vulnerability. Oh, you don't want us to do that? Oh, all you do is say so. And it was signed Olga, just Olga. And I'm going, wow.
We were just getting around to extorting you.
Yeah,
we didn't get there yet.
I know. Man, you can't make this stuff up.
Wow.
So I'm going, okay, I see where the battle is. And the philosophy of liberty, I've used it so much. And it goes like this, Ken. Put my hand on their shoulder. I go, whose life is this? And as soon as they, well, it's mine. Okay, well, welcome to freaking freedom, Here, watch Philosophy of Liberty.
Bingo.
So this is the movie, and man, we could do the rest of the show on freaking that. I think we will. This is going to be, how do I get little, I know what I want. It's like in Silver Circle and some other movies and everything. What do I got to do to get a little bitty Freedom's Phoenix artwork logo Easter egg of motivation for us to help? You know what I mean? Come on, come on, come on. Think about it. We'll do something. We have 50 gazillion group spots. Yeah, it's like putting, Pepsi cans in Wayne's World.
Product placement.
We need liberty placement. You got to be careful, too, because, there might be, All right, Ken Schoolin, ISIL, International Society for Individual Liberty. Adventures of Jonathan Gullible, translated into gazillion languages, plays, movie.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world?
Yes, I am. Okay. So.
Okay, good.
All right. Ken, you got to help me out here, man. How far along is this? When did you guys first start talking about doing this?
Oh, we talked about it. I don't know. I suppose we put together the business plan about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. But it's now just really shaping up. My wife has been organizing these conferences all around the world. She put together the Austrian Economic Summit in Shanghai in 2012 and in 2014. She did the Bratislava Austrian Economic Summit in 2013. And next year she's doing it in Marrakesh, Morocco, with Noua El-Hormuzi. And by the way, we've gotten a crowd of about 150 enthusiastic Austrian economic fans. Hmm. We've gotten speakers, about 30 speakers, including last summer David Friedman and Tom Palmer and Dan Mitchell and a whole bunch of international speakers like Leon Lowe. And and we have that coming up again in Morocco. She's planning this with Noua El-Harmouzi and with the Arab Center for Liberty Studies. And you can go to our, to her website, tftevents.com, and have a look at the conference that's planned for May 26th to 28th.
What's the biggest need? Is it financing or other things, or what's the biggest need?
I mean, financing is always beneficial. We're eager to find people who will sponsor students as scholarships and who will, contribute. But we're very, very interested in having speakers come. You know, speakers provide their own way. But there are a lot of times, in order to get students to be able to come to these events, we need to provide scholarships for them, too. Hmm. So, yeah, but it's amazing the individual effort. There was one friend of mine who just put up a site on, this crowdfunding thing. I need to go to the Bali conference. So last summer was in Bali in Indonesia. It was our biggest and best yet. we had an estate offered by Hugo van Rijten, who is a great libertarian and fan of the International Society for Individual Liberty, and he offered us his place, a beautiful estate where we were able to have all the meetings, all of the luncheons, and a great tour. Of course, Bali is a wonderful place to be touring around. And it was just a huge moment for liberty because we got, books presented. The Braille edition of my book, The Adventures of Jonathan Gullible, was just published in Nepal, and they brought it and released it there at the conference in Bali, along with the Bahasa edition.
Oh my God!
We have the new editions in Jonathan Gullible now. I mean, it's now been published in 50 languages, but we have new ones coming out in Malaysian, Malayalam, Punjabi, Tamil, Armenian. I mean, it's just incredible.
You know, I remember you inviting us to go to Bali. I just, whatever was going on then, I couldn't go or everything. But you keep me in mind, man. I'd love to participate in something. I mean, just cause, you know.
Oh, you'd be fantastic there, and Ernie, you'd be the most dynamic speaker of all.
Well, let's get this schedule. Yeah, Marrakesh, man. I'm thinking, all right, here we come. We're coming back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Did you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express?
Yeah, we're going to Marrakesh. You know, this is see how you said Marrakesh.
You're fantastic.
Homie's got
Where'd
skills.
You go with that one, that's
homie's
great.
Got,
yeah.
Nash and Crosby, Marrakesh Express. You know, they're going to Marrakesh, Morocco is your next one. When is that?
It's May 26th to 28th. And
and
on the website, we'll list our speakers. We have some that have expressed a strong interest and are likely to come. David Friedman came last summer, and I'm expecting him to come next summer as well. Chris Lingle. The nice thing about this is that it looks like we're right in the midst of places that are having huge talk and energy about the free markets and free ideas, and they need this kind of thinking there, and they're hungry for it. I mean, it's unlike a lot of people in America. They think, oh well, we've got a free society, and so they're losing it. But in other countries, they're tasting it for the first time, and they're really latching onto it and saying, we've got to make something happen with this. And so that's where a lot of the excitement is.
Culture. Oh, did you get the banners?
Yes, I did. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, you got to advise me on how best to use these things. I remember when I was driving around in Arizona, I saw a lot of your banners for Ron Paul years ago, and how best to use these sorts of things here. It's a great idea.
You can put your mic down. I just turn it up here. It's going okay.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to hold it. I just turned it on. I got a knob. I sent him some of the banners, you know, the nice banners that we did. And we did, you know, some, you know, our street activist silk screening ourselves kind of hundreds thing. And I don't know, you know, weren't it appropriate? You know, you standing at whatever the TV of some you're speaking at of whatever conference of damn it, you know, stop wars, home educate. You know, this is I'm really seeing that as the future is where ISIL and the philosophy of liberty comes in. It's part of that home education thing. You know, it's just, you know, we're going to keep having these wars if we don't understand what the hell keeps causing them, who's doing it, you know, and just getting out of, you know, these different cultures are infected, you know, with the idea of liberty, of leave me aloneism, of freedom, of whatever the heck. And I'm going, you're right. They're more apt to hear the message, especially when it's presented in such a simple, I own myself way. That concept, that was like discovering the law of gravity. John Locke comes out with this, you know, hey, I don't have to be property of some king or something. I own myself. That right there started changing everything, which is why I'm so supportive of what you do. It's exactly the kind of thing that we try to do here.
That's right. And this is the theme of this conference coming up in Marrakesh. It's called Peace and Entrepreneurship. The whole point of it is that you go to America's strengths in terms of free market activity, not war and interventionism all over the place. That always has a negative response. What you really want is to release the talents of the marketplace and interacting people.
You know, what other support? I mean, is it Ken Schoolin, or is it ISIL, or is it the combination of the two? Because you weren't always in charge of ISIL, you know.
And, No. The person I'd say that who's most the guy who founded the International Society for, and we're always having to use this full title now, the International Society for Individual Liberty, because in the Middle East, you know, it's ISIL has been
Durka Jihad!
Taken over by this this other extremist, Islamic State and all that. But okay, our group was organized about more than 30 years ago by Vince Miller, who wanted to take it. He called it Libertarian International at the time. Then later we merged with Students for the Individual Liberty and became the International Society for Individual Liberty. And right now, since he passed away, Mary Ruart is the chairman of the board of directors, and she's really the driving force in the United States. As you may know, Mary, well, you know Mary because she ran as a candidate for the Libertarian Party
in
the presidential race a couple times. She's written a book, Healing Our World, that's just an outstanding introduction to libertarian ideas. And I'd say in the United States, she's certainly the driving force for what we're doing. And I do a lot of the international, you might say, Johnny Appleseed approach of taking our organization worldwide to bring together networks of people who are doing lots and lots of stuff.
You know,
and they are
familiar,
all across the world.
Are you familiar with Glenn Kripe, Language of Liberty?
Well, that's, of course, he works with ISIL. In fact, he got his start from the projects that we did in Lithuania, and he took it worldwide, and we're big supporters of him. It's through our donors that we contribute a lot to his multitude of projects throughout the world.
We hooked him up with Alessandro also to do a conference or something in Europe, and Alessandro, the attorney out of Rome, he's like, man, we need to bring, you know, gun rights kind of in. I don't know how to do that and not be, you know, considered the fascist neo, you know, whatever the heck, the Nazi something. That's how they're trying to portray anybody that does gun rights. You own yourself. Kind of said, you know what? We can help you out. Talk to ISIL, talk to Glenn, talk. So they're working it out now. And they do some kind of conference and we can help with something. Let's go save the continent of Europe. It would be just a weekend project. I mean, you know.
easier to go halfway across the world than to solve it in our own backyard.
Don't laugh, man. You know, it's when they're ready. And that's what Ken's finding out. What's changed? I mean, because this was not like this in the 90s. Was it the internet that did this? Was it certain individuals? Was it a need? Was it, you know, we hate America? We love America. I mean, what's made such a big change to have all these opportunities?
Well, I think the internet has made things really, really easy to connect up with other people. But then it has to be in combination with actually meeting them face to face, because then, you know, you meet them and you become solid friends, and then the internet makes it possible for you to communicate and send, you know, all kinds of articles. I mean, my wife right now is communicating with dozens of libertarians all across China, and she's getting public. I mean, you know, she says, well, could you say something about, you know, about endangered species, how the free market helps that issue? So I wrote up a little thing. Within a day, friends of hers said, oh, we're going to translate into Chinese. And then within day after that, it was all across China. She put together this conference that's now an annual event at Northeastern University in China, where we have over 100 students from all over China that come together and hear six scholars. We've got Doug Vandal, Chris Lingle, Bharun Mitra. We have a dozen speakers from all over the world that come there and give a week-long seminars on free market, Austrian economics, and that spreads it then throughout China. This stuff is just all possible, largely because the internet, even though the Chinese government tries to block it with the Great Firewall of China.
Oh, yeah. No, I got to tell you this story. There was a Chinese exchange student that was staying with a good friend, one of the best friends of my son's. And they lived there for, it was three of them. It was, I think, two girls and a guy. And they were spread out of families here, and one of them stayed there. Well, we got to talk to him and meet with him and everything, and I used the philosophy of liberty for them, and I can't even remember if it was in Chinese then or not, but they, of course, they spoke English, and I go, here. So we were communicating with them for about, when they went back, for about 3 months, and then it went dead. And I go, I'm so shocked. You know, and you just know that the man's going, no. No, wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. This is, where you think you're having the biggest impact, the biggest potential? Is it, you know, Malaysia, Asia, Europe, Africa? Is it all of them equal or just kind of ratcheting up? I mean, where do you think you're having big impact?
Well, believe it or not, I think that China, India, and Nepal are probably some of our biggest outreach areas.
India.
They're doing great stuff.
Yeah, India. Ouch, ouch. There's like a gazillion, was it like a billion people? India?
That's the
India?
Amazing thing. Every province is more people than there are in most countries. So, yeah, it's worth it.
China? I don't know, a couple of billion. Half the world's population, India and China.
Yeah.
Damn.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
Yep. Alexandro Facio. That's going to be a score right there for you guys. And so you're already communicating with him and Glenn. I didn't make the connection to you and Glenn and them, and they do all of that. I feel a European thing coming on. Hey, we could all meet in Morocco. Marrakesh.
Yeah.
The Marrakesh Express. Oh, I feel artwork coming on already. See, this is how it's done, man. This is how it's done. You know, Michael, you feel like going to Marrakesh?
Oh, man, I'm down, buddy. I am down. Okay. I got my passport. Let's go.
Okay, see, this is how it happens. You know, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. You know, try not to get in trouble overseas. Let's not do that. This is, May. Can we do something by May? Yeah, are you willing to get all, let's do it? We're going to screw all this elect, we're going to Marrakesh. Marrakesh Express, Freedom Express, Marrakesh Freedom Express. See, I can feel it. Okay, where are you putting it on there? Is it just some person's location, a hotel, or what?
Well, Nua Al-Harmouzi is going to be the organizer for it, so I don't know exactly where all it's going to be, but he's the he's a professor and economist at the University of Kenitra in Morocco, but also he's put on for years seminars, liberty seminars in Morocco. So he's very experienced.
Well, are they done in English, or is it going to be in Moroccan?
Oh yeah, everything's in English.
Okay,
and he was the one that helped the Cato Institute found what they called the Lamp of Liberty, which was their outreach to the Arab world. And
Cato's, their translation of the U.S. Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, and they did it in English, each page in Arabic. We sent hundreds of those along with the DVDs to Tahrir Square.
Oh, wow. Fantastic.
So they got that. Now, on the in Arabic, on a mailing label, on the page of the front page of the Constitution, in Arabic, we said, we already tried this. Maybe you can do better. I wasn't endorsing that. I'm like, no. This is how we got screwed, man. We're not endorsing everything. But that Bill of Rights and Declaration thing, I'm hip to that. So that made me feel better, to be able to do that. The
And absolutely, you're planting these seeds that you will have probably many times. You'll never know what the impact was, but it's taken on a life of its own,
right?
And it's spreading these ideas throughout the Arab world and across the world. Everything, and a lot of it doesn't get back. I mean, you think of when we were learning these ideas ourselves.
Yep, here we go.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Toto!
Africa, baby.
Exactly, out of Africa. Yep, out of Africa. Okay, it's worldwide. We've always known this. We're just trying to keep a little bit of a flame of something in America, as America and freedom oriented as about the rest of the planet. When you got to go to Russia to buy a flight to the space station, when you got to go to China to open up a company because, whatever, when you got to do that, I'm just like, oh, here's a really good one, Ken. I mean, China is going through their industrial revolution of carving the air with knives. I mean, damn, is there some pollution there and a lot of around the world? And I know that they'll eventually evolve just like America did out of this, because damn, how do you address that pollution and so on in what's going on in China and India and everywhere else?
Well, I think that it's the kind of message that Bjorn Lomborg gave about how it isn't through government controls that we're going to solve these problems. It's through the innovation of the marketplace. And he's demonstrated how just in the United States alone, having switched over through the fracking and the tapping of natural gas, the United States has reduced its carbon output, carbon footprint, more than all the Kyoto Protocol signatories combined, just by innovation that led us to low-cost natural gas. And that's the marketplace that solved the problem entirely, and not the government interveners. So I'd say that that's what China's going to do in the future, too. They're going to the more the government stands out of the way in China and allows the market to solve these problems, that you'll have that sort of response as well.
We've seen things like research in thorium reactors. We have China doesn't have all this copper infrastructure of lines and electric everywhere, everything, and they can do more decentralized. We got solar and wind, and we make cheap batteries because we can. I mean, this is they're going to leapfrog us because they can. They just can, and they don't have investment of the infrastructure, and the big giant special interest is the government. So so it's in their interest. So I'm just it's a whole different thing. They don't have lobbyists saying no, we gotta Fauci quit it, fight over. They're looking at freeing it up and the entrepreneurs that are coming in and doing what needs to be done for a profit. But you got a comment on the ghost cities. I'm like, damn, are they just waiting until all of a sudden everybody's living in the city this week or something? I mean, what's going on there?
Well, it's true. There's a huge housing bubble. I think that 60 Minutes reported that it's 12 to 24 new ghost cities every year, cities being built by the government to prop things up. But I think that the real magic of the Chinese growth hasn't been, of course, the government. It's been the private sector. And the Fraser Institute out of Canada that does the Economic Freedom of the World Institute in index measured different provinces of China. And they found that many of the provinces, the free economic zones on along the coast, are freer than Hong Kong and Singapore for economic freedom. And, of course, there are other provinces of China that are off the bottom of the chart, the least free. But the engines of growth have been along those free economic zones along the coastline of China that have driven this tremendous success in bringing hundreds of millions of people out of poverty. And that's where the entrepreneurial activity is going on. Now, of course, when the government tries to step in and control it, manipulate it, of course, it crushes it. But that's where the hope, I think, for China and of course, the rest of the world is. You see the states of the United States having those differences themselves. The states that have the greatest economic freedom are the ones that are becoming the engines of growth of the United States as well.
You know, that's one someone that we know that offered a big company go to California. And the first thing he's thinking of, he looks and he goes, all right, it's 198% of the cost of living in Phoenix. You know, the homes are a gazillion dollars for what they got here for nothing. And he goes, gun rights are gone and I have to vaccinate my kids? Maybe not. And I'm going, that's, you know, all we got to do is just, you know, we go more freedom-oriented, freedom-supporting, freedom-friendly freedom. And all of a sudden it just explodes here. Well, the bad guys know that too. So they're going, you're not allowed. And we got some legislator or somebody. So you got to go change the culture to where these are non-starters. And it's the same with gun rights. You know, that's another thing. Gun rights. You know, just it's self-defense of, I mean, that's really what your entire freaking philosophy of liberty just builds right up to. You own yourself and protect your life and thing. I mean, what does it use as a graphic? Oh, I think it uses a knife, you know, or something.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, it uses a knife. Oh, it's not a gun. It's not a gun. So, you know, this is gun rights. Is that self-defense? How does that enter into a lot of what you do around the world?
Well, actually, in The Adventures of Jonathan Gullible, there are several references to the right and the necessity of having a gun to be able to protect yourself. It's subtly introduced in a way that you know, any school in America could probably let it get past the censors to let it in there. But the message is very clear that you have the first obligation for protecting yourself because the people who say they're protecting you, they're the ones doing the aggression against you all the time.
Now, it's one thing that we can do. We have the duplicators. We can do 300 to 500 DVDs an hour. I got probably around 20,000 in reserve because just waiting for somebody to piss me off, and it goes from 30 down to 25, down to 20, down to, you know. So it's about time. It's, you know, this home educate thing. And I think that you hit them with, no, we're not talking just America. We're talking by language. We do a compilation DVD that would be something that we just, you know, invade America, you know, and passing out the crosswalk at the junior highs, you know. That'd piss them off. Or we'd launch it with T-shirts into the schoolyard. Oh, that'd send you to jail. I'm for street theater activism of something, but damn, Ken, you got me so inspired by what's going on around the world. We could use that as an example to inspire kids here. So, I mean, you know, think about it.
Is it translated into English yet?
Yeah, really. No, the Ebonics.
We need it.
Firearms, you know.
Originally, Sam Sloan published this as an English language book in order to get it into the schools of Hawaii. They've been sitting on it for more than a dozen years and saying, well, considering it. We finally figure, well, once North Korea finally accepts it, then maybe the schools in Hawaii.
Okay, what are you holding up there? What is that? It's a DVD. Okay, it looked really big with the way you showed it. I'm going, holy crap, how big is this thing?
It's the audiobook of Jonathan Gullible, and it's in audio version in a number of languages, in German and French. Not in French, but in several languages. I can't remember offhand. But you can use the English one. There's an English one. If you're you set your machine to work, you're welcome to make copies of that.
No, I was going to ask your permission anyway. The I'm ripping you off, right? I go like this. I go, Donna, go to the internet. I go to ISIL to get that.
No, I mean, I'll send you a copy of the book, and it's got the CD with it.
Do you have it in? Do you have it in Spanish?
No, it's not produced in Spanish yet. But you know, I welcome anyone who wants to just do a narration in any language that we've got it.
Okay,
we do have it in German, and we have it in. I'm trying to remember.
Never enough. Never enough. Okay, this is what's going to happen. This is Michael. This is how it happens right here.
We can get that translated.
He's sitting here witnessing what's going on here. We had Larkin Rose, a gentleman, because he didn't have it in audiobook. He's doing the audiobook. Well, his wife is from Korea. Well, she's doing it in Korean. Okay, so then we can. I'm like, you know, got another thing. See, okay, and that's just Arizona. Okay, Michael. This is how this stuff happens, okay? Mm. Just like you're watching it happen right here.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. You got my address. Send me that English version of that, and I'm going to plagiarize the living crap out of it, okay? Or duplicate it or do something illegal. I don't know, whatever it is. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and we'll do a crap load of these. Get the CDs, because I don't want to waste the DVD files on them. But we'll go ahead and do CDs of these, and we'll start, you know, passing out The Adventures of Jonathan Gullible in an audio file. What age do you think is too young for that?
Well,
thinking get away junior high or high school or what? I mean, what are you looking at?
Probably junior high is about the youngest you want to go. They're the ones who are getting the musical production in Kazakhstan, and I was amazed at how energized they were about getting this message.
Okay, no. Before you go, do you have the play in English? Now, where that somebody could perform it and do it.
Yeah, the play.
Done! We're going to have this done here in English. Get this out as a promotion. Yeah, you know, for 2016 America and Arizona ass whipping. I mean, can you feel me? Come on, you know it's going to happen. Come on. You know, did Ernie, you know, you pushed the Ernie button, does it happen? Come on.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. And Michael's going to help. See, I already knew that. I wasn't going to say this unless Michael was here.
I'm here. I'm down.
Are you down?
I'm right
there. You're down. Right. See, Ken? Crap, man. You should come on more often. That and Morocco. We'll talk about Morocco. We'll talk about Asia. You stay right there. Go to the archive as we save the planet.
Money.
See how easy that is? We're going to save some planet.
That's fantastic.
Okay, you send that to me, and we'll come up with some campaign, because this Stop Wars Home Educate thing could easily morph right into that, and defending Archimedes of that. You hit them from an unexpected, perpendicular, but relevant direction. That's L. Neil Smith thing, you know?
Yeah.
All right.
That's great. And I do want to put in a plug for ISIL.org, where we have all the videos of all of our talks from the Bali conference. So I'd love to have everybody go there and you know, they can view all the talks and be as if they were there themselves.
Okay, do me a favor, Ken. Make a note to send me an email or along with something, you know, information or how we can help and spread and do and whatever about the animation. And an invite, if you can get these guys, if they're willing to have, you know, me come to, you know, if I can raise the money to go or do whatever, if I got an invitation to do the Morocco thing, you know,
great.
We can help, whatever, I'll make it happen and, you know, something. But the May in Morocco, what is that temperature? Is that kind of like San Diego-ish about that time of year?
Well, good question. I'd have to look that up. I visited there a couple years ago in the dead of summer, like you know, July.
It was 122 or something.
And no, it wasn't too terribly uncomfortable. I think these cities are also on the coastline and
Mediterranean, so it kind of moderates.
You just want to be careful what you eat there.
I'm hip. Yeah. Well, go ahead and I'm interested. I can't guarantee any because I don't know. I mean, you know, crap happens, you know. But this has been the Defending Archimedes has been for 4.5 years a web domain that I sit in the back of my head sitting there. And I tell you how it came about. I want to share this with you.
Yeah.
A good friend of mine, one of our patrons, has been, you know, just one of those, you know, 200 IQ genius guys that is just, you know, damn, you know, and they're drawn and supportive of what we do because they know this cultural thing has an impact. And I'm talking to them over the years and I'm going, God, you got to tell me, how did you know when, and you're a genius and you're smarter than all your teachers at, you know, what, kindergarten? I mean, you know, what is it you need? Do you need a special program, a camp? Would you go to a seminar? What? They go, no. I'm smarter than all these guys. Just leave me the freaking alone. Put me in a beanbag chair in a corner. Not too hot, not too cold. I got a light and a book. I mean, you know, just leave me alone. I teach myself. So there was nothing. They didn't. These guys, the most influential, the most driven, the most intelligent, the most, they don't want anything.
No help. Just get
just
out of my way.
Just leave me alone. They didn't need anything. So I'm going, okay. So, yeah, and I'm thinking about the history of Archimedes and how smart he was. And, you know, I mean, you come up with pie in your head, I mean, you win, you know. So, in, was it 300 BC or something? So, I'm going, here you have Archimedes and you had the genius of Generation Next. So, I'm thinking, you just need to defend them. You know, defending Archimedes. That's where that came from. And the point was, is I'm going, all right, here's Khan Academy, comes up with some great resources, and I'm doing my granddaughter and showing her an hour of coding, and they go through a bunch, and it's kind of cool. But then he hooks up with Bill Gates. Bill Gates has all these metrics of your account, of you signed up your kid, and each one of your kids got their own account. Every time they watch something, they get points, and it's a game or whatever, and we map their brain, and oh, yeah, Illuminosity, and now we got everybody. And I'm going, your permanent record is they got your freaking permanent record married with your Google searches and your Facebook account of you're just a freaking number. So I'm going,
known quantity.
Exactly. So I'm going, no, there was a book called Brilliance. You should read that. You know, it's about this kind of thing. Gifted 2x2 hands of blue and River Thames in the alliance of whatever, you know, and Firefly. So this is, so I can see what the real threat is. The threat is server-based accounts of individuals and them being able to map you in this permanent record of your brain. And I'm going, when they started Echelon and what was it, Carnivore and all this kind of, I could see for the first time in early, you remember this, Ken, for the
Echelon,
thank you. I'm going, you know, for the first time, they're able to, you know, kind of web connect with all this Snowden NSA stuff. And I go, why are we helping them? We need to have, like, Airbits is a Bitcoin wallet that has accounts that they don't know your email or who you are. You sign up the account, you got the password, and the only way they can track is through ISPs of kind of, you know, something like that. So you use an anonymizer, you go to the MadeSafe network, or you do something to where they can't censor and it's off there. So that's why I support this, you know, peer-to-peer serverless. There's no central plan for, and it's an encrypted account of my kid, and yeah, he's smart some bit. I bet you wish you knew who he was, and I'm not telling you, okay? So this is the kind of, it's the defending of the next generation of geniuses and them getting it worldwide. India and China is half the freaking planet's population. And I'm going, at least. So I'm going, all right, boom. That's why I want to help with what you're doing, because I see the seeding of this, you know, Adventures of Jonathan Gullible in animation, a movie, a play, you know, in different languages. You have the Philosophy of Liberty available. You have. And I'm going, all right. This is exactly where I'm going and why I sent you those posters. Did you get the cards, too?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
So that was, you know, the love card. That was a Christmas card in the Christmas of 07 in New Hampshire for Ron Paul. On the back, instead of the Stop Wars, it had, you know, Ron Paul is the best because of whatever, you know.
That's right.
So I'm going, and it had We the People, and I go, no, I don't want the Constitution. I want the Declaration of Independence in the background, you know. So we did, so I'm with you, brother. I'm right. We're on parallel paths, and where we can come in and overlap and help each other, I am willing to put, you know, Michael's sitting here already willing to spend some money. You know, so it's like, you know, the doctor of a, you know, chiropractor kind of whatever, and he's got some skills and willing to put some time, and he's and his family have been putting up these signs around Phoenix. So I'm going, I'm telling you, man, you know, waiting on you now.
Okay. Well, I'll be sending you some. I'll send you the book.
Ken would just do his part.
Yeah.
Get off your ass, Ken. They didn't hear nothing about South America.
Antarctica.
Some penguins need freeing, man. You know, so this is, you know, where I'm at. So you can see, seriously, I'm motivated. We set up the entire, everything is to, you know, help with this. We use a lot of your resources in a bunch of our compilations and so on. And I'm thinking of just as a demonstration, because there's so many great opportunities and demonstrations around the world. You know, but America needs a, like a, in, you know, the, you know, through the bone marrow, through the bone marrow with a big giant hypodermic above your head as you slam it down like your adrenaline a heart or something, you know, into the injection of the libertarian infection into the bone marrow of American politics, world culture, for which there is no cure.
We'll start in Texas. Michael Bednarik, new secession, new state.
Oh, yeah. We had Michael Bednarik was on the show last week. He, his family is taking, his mother passed away. He went to Illinois, Indiana, or whatever, take care of them. He's moving back to Texas, where he's doing some constitutional classes and more. And because Texas has got, you know, they always have a secession movement going there. And they're kind of building up. He's like, yeah, I'll run for president of Texas. You know, so we'll have some Texas stuff, Arizona stuff, California. We're just having fun. If you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong. And I'm telling you, I'm feeling some fun coming on.
Wasn't that the thing that people challenged Harry Brown? They said, you know, Harry, you said in your book How I Found Freedom in an Unfree World to stay out of politics. He says, unless you're having fun, then then do it.
Yeah, no, if you can keep it fun. I didn't give Brown as many props as I should have, you know, and we even spoke at the Freedom Summit, and it's the politicalness of it. You know, it's the party and them trying to get matching funds and them going through. I hated the people that surround the party kind of, ew, and I'm just now seeing that it's finally the movement with the internet and the maturity of a lot of resources such as what you're doing, what we're doing, a lot of people, as now has an infrastructure that bypasses election cycles. You know, I mean, you can use it to make fun of whatever, but we're so much at a more fundamental basis and at a much higher level that inside all that political stuff is just side effect. Yeah, but the vote totals, and I go, yeah, it's a side effect of, you know, people getting, yeah, but we're going to get in this guy and running for it. I go, that's a side effect.
Right.
You know, the stuff that Ken's been doing for all the, when did you start doing the radio thing in Hawaii? When did those start getting published?
That was about 1980 when I first did the radio.
Oh, my God. And look what's happened. See?
Huh? Yeah.
Back when you were not gray.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, people say, well, gee, you know, how long did it take you to do this book? You know, and I think it's been going, it's an ongoing thing, it goes forever.
Yeah, 3 months and 20 years. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm hip. All right. So you got your marching papers, you got your to-do list for me?
Got it. All right. And I'll be sending you some stuff right away.
Okay. Michael Arnie, and I will talk about it.
Fantastic.
It's serendipity. He's sitting here all rare to go, wanting to do something and kind of this. And he's been, you know, the philosophy of liberty has been, you had no idea this was going on around the world, did you?
And not the degree to which Ken's talking about. It's very encouraging. I mean, seriously, very encouraging.
You know, I remember.
It's funny that liberty is going to have to be imported to the U.S.
Right. Right. And sitting out in the Pacific of Hawaii doesn't hurt, you know?
Yeah.
He invited us to go to Bali, and I can't remember what was going on. Going on, and we couldn't, you know, do that. But I'm, you know, and it's, I'd rather go to Bali than Morocco, but I mean, you know, Morocco, it's on the African continent. It's going to be in English. It's going to be close enough to, you know, Europe that we can have it. And the guys, you know, with Glenn and Alessandro, and then, you know, kind of, we're already working on kind of, see, I'm already planting this. I present them with this and what Ken's doing and kind of, you know, and listen to this show and kind of, you get it. And they're going to go, damn. Hmm. Damn.
Glenn wants to do one of his camps, building young libertarians just prior to the Marrakesh conference. He's trying to connect up with Nua El-Hormuzi. And if they get it all together, then Glenn will be doing one for the youth just before the conference. And we've got what we call the Bali Society that we started last year, a cadre of like 20 anarcho-capitalists who were, you know, starting with David Friedman and Leon Low and Chris Lingo and others that were supposed to be the core of a new organization that would be an alternative to the Mont Pelerin Society. You know, the Mont Pelerin Society started years ago to be the free market engine, but now it's sort of lost its way. It's gotten watered down and very political and populist in a sense, but we're trying to start off a new one called the Bali Society.
Okay, this is, well, you have Alessandro's contact information. You should, Donna, send Ken the links to the shows that I did with Alessandro, especially the last one, and listen to this show and, you know, and the articles that he wrote, and, you know, because what happened, he came here to Arizona. He was staying with Mark Victor. I got to tell you the story. This story. Mark Victor writes something that was about gun rights or something in on Lou Rockwell. Well, he's a criminal defense attorney, attorneyforfreedom.com kind of thing. Well, Alessandro's like, cool. So he contacts him. If you're ever in Europe. Well, they were on a trip, and Alessandro has law offices in Rome, Madrid, and Berlin. Well, Mark sets it up and meets him in Berlin. They're new best friends. And then like a month and a half ago, Alessandro came here to Arizona. So he's hanging out and kind of looking. Everybody's freaking got a gun, man. What up with that, you know? Which he's like, cool. And I go, hey, you want to penetrate into the culture. You do the self-ownership, philosophy of liberty, and I showed him that. He got very excited, and that's when he contacted you. He's like, oh, hell yeah. And I go, you use Second Amendment issues or gun rights as you can bring in all this other stuff because it's all about self-ownership. So he's like, he's down with that. So I go, all right, be careful. I mean, you sure you want to spend the rest of your freaking life and you'll semi-retire of your law firm of gun? Yep, I'm in, man. Okay, fine. Here's Glenn. Put him in contact with you and Glenn. Then he'll see that, you know, eventually start to realize you guys, you know, work together. And it's like, damn. And what should you do? If you encourage him to go to Marrakesh, you know, which is not too far from Italy. I mean, you know, it's a little hop over the pond there. So you go over Mediterranean. You have him participate in that or at least go or something. Now you got, you know, someone, a quality individual ready to take on Europe, you know, and help.
Yeah. Now, Alessandro, Fusillo. Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Right. Okay. I got his email address right here. Yeah, we corresponded about
a month ago or so.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. November the 22nd. Right. Okay.
Donna's going to send you the radio shows that I've done with him and the articles that he's written for us. And if you listen to the last show that I think it was the last show that we did. And you'll see, he was like, yeah, no, he's in. He wants to, you know, just like Michael here, they get all the bug. You know, they go, I'm like, pace yourself. You know, Ken's been doing this for 30 whatever freaking years. You know, then there's a way. It's called pacing yourself, and you'll stay in the fight. So we do this, and we kind of meet up in Marrakesh, and because you got, you know, the Arab world, you got Europe. You got Africa, you know, Morocco, man. That's an international cosmopolitan to piss all everybody off. Wow. Now, you know, the audience, I just want you to know this is how it happens. You just stay in the fight, you know people, and you know, kind of just dovetail into whatever resources that we kind of, here we go, international. You know, this Stop Wars thing was international. We sent, just like the package I sent you, I sent to Alessandro in Rome.
Right,
you know, so
right.
These guys are having fun. I'm going, here we go. And why? Stop wars, home educate.
Right.
You know, I didn't put home school, you know. Right. You know, it's like, you know, so this is, all right, we got work to do. All right, man, I'm telling you, you know, thank you very much for spending the extra time with us, Ken, and all you
thank
do.
Thank you.
And let me know, if I can be of service in addition to, and we do and get the guide, I can make use of this. I can have some fun.
great.
All right, man. Yeah, anything
thanks a lot, Ernie. Well, you're the greatest.
Who's
the guy with you in the studio? I didn't have you pick your picture here at all. I could.
Michael Cole. If you watch the video when we put up the archive, and you watch the video from the second hour, you'll see him and his family, and they're putting up signs and all that kind of stuff. And
great, so Michael. Nice to meet your acquaintance too.
Thank you so much, Ken. Yeah. Very good pleasure to meet you. It's an honor.
Great. And I can't wait to see you guys. You know, since my mom passed away in Phoenix, I don't have the same reasons to get to Phoenix as I used to. But
where my chopped liver?
Now that Ernie's my brother, I have to go visit you.
Get your butt here. You know, that's another thing. You know, Ken's always invited us to go to Hawaii. And I think, you know what? Donna.
Donnie, come on, Donna. We got an extra room here in our house here. You guys can just park out in here and go,
we'll
go to the beach and go to the shopping and all that.
We'll
go down there and see the battleship Missouri and all that.
Okay, we'll make Missouri. We'll make an excuse to go. We'll find some reason of something. You know, just have something. And it's just, we're just so busy. You know, but I tell you what, it's all towards exactly this. Cultural shift, education of everything I do just made you look. And I make them look at stuff, the infrastructure you already have, and gosh darn it, a freaking $30 million budget movie. I'm just, you know, oh, hell yeah. You know, All right, Ken, you know, we'll let you go. But I tell you, man, you know, I'm in.
Thanks a lot, Ernie. It's so great to be connected with you, as always.
Well, give me a webpage, you know, for everybody to go to and find out everything about everything.
I'll send everything to you.
No, yeah, right now. Go ahead and do it for the archive.
Yeah, I will. I'll get it.
It.
Okay. ISIL.org is for the International Society for Individual Liberty. The website for the conference in Morocco is tftevents.com.
tftevents.com.
Okay. Yeah. That's my wife's organization, TFT Events. And then jonathangullible.com, where we have the news about everything that Jonathan Gullible's been doing worldwide.
And are you still teaching?
I'm teaching, yeah. I teach. I'm an economics professor over at Hawaii Pacific University, the private university here in the islands.
Oh, it's private. Okay, I didn't. Okay, that's good. That's good.
You think I'd teach at a government school? No way.
I don't know, man. You could just beat them over the head and be wondering how you stayed there. How long are you going to keep doing that until you drop dead or what?
Well, believe it or not, I just had a heart attack 2 weeks ago. I'm slowing down a little bit, but I still keep doing it.
Well, how bad? I mean, are you okay?
No, it was a real minor thing. We were going to go traveling, and I thought I better just see the doctor first about this shortness of breath and a little pressure in my chest. And they sent me right to the hospital, and they put a stent in my heart. So I'm okay. I'm actually feeling better than I was before. Makes me realize that I'm 66 now, and I ought to retire someday, but it's not in the works yet. You know?
No, this is what kept you to 66, you know?
Peeled off,
you know, like a decade ago if it wasn't for, you know, motivated or whatever. All right, well, I'm glad you're doing okay. Hey, man, you know, it's been always a pleasure talking to you, and I'm glad Michael got to hang with you a little bit. And you got a hub of activity just sitting ready, just right in line with it. You see how it dovetails, huh? Huh? Huh?
Yeah. Oh, before I leave the computer, I mean, right away, I'm going to be sending a whole bunch of stuff on the internet. In fact, I already sent one thing to Donna about what my activities have been this last year, and that gives you a feeling for the kinds of things we do through ISIL.
Yeah, we have a lot of people that are very supportive of you and supportive of us because we're supportive of people like you. So, you know, it's God. 2016 is going to be damn, but you know, you're dealing on an international level. And if you look at it from that perspective and the opportunities we're going to have and the freaking U.S. government being U.S. government, you know, all of a sudden you can see an average. There's lights. There's a lot of lights. And I'm, you know, yeah, it's like Michael's saying, we got to bring freedom to America. I mean, you know, kind of thing. But the, you know, in good examples, we want to help. If you let us help, we'll help. I want to help.
Great. Thank you so much, Ernie. You're the best. Yeah. Oh, thanks so much.
You bet. Bye, Ken.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Michael.